Peter and the apostles have been arrested again, and they're standing trial just like they did before. But this time around, things are different. They're facing a worse punishment because they've deliberately disobeyed the order of the Sanhedrin. They were told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, but they didn't stop. And so now, they could lose everything. They could lose even their very lives for daring to go against what they had explicitly been told. But Peter and the apostles were not afraid. They say in verse 29, "We must obey God rather than men." Now, I know that we've talked about this kind of thing before. It is important, after all, to follow after God above all things, especially when we live in a time where there's all kinds of pressure from society and even the government to go against what God says. God calls us to remain steadfast even in the face of that kind of pressure. But Christians, that can be very difficult to do, especially when we're standing alone or when we're facing severe pressure. If we're facing some kind of great suffering because of our refusal to go along. But instead of focusing on the what tonight, I want to focus instead on the why. Why should we do this? Why should we obey God rather than men, especially when it may cause us to endure great suffering? And our reading from the book of Acts shows us that this is more than just a matter of Christian duty, although it is certainly that too. God gives us in this passage five reasons why it is better to listen to him rather than to give in to the world. So the first of these reasons comes at the beginning of our reading. We see the church continuing just as it had done before in the book of Acts. The apostles are doing all kinds of signs and wonders. I mean, even Peter, as he's walking by some people, his very shadow causes them to be healed. God is doing a truly great thing by giving such great miracles to the apostles. But it's really no different than it was before. Because before, when we saw Peter healing the lame man, God was using him to do that too. God used that miracle as a way of bringing many to hear the gospel so that Peter could proclaim the good news and they would come to faith and be saved. The miracle led to faith. And the same thing is happening here. Even though Luke doesn't tell us that there was preaching going on, many are still coming to faith in God, which means that they were still preaching, they were still teaching. It is the same work as it was before. And Christians, that's really the point. Nothing has really changed. The church is still carrying out her mission, just as she still does today. The Lord is still at work in the midst of his people. And so we should not be afraid, thinking that somehow opposition to the gospel means that it's going to come to an end, or that the work of the church is somehow going to come crashing down. Lives are still being changed by the power of the gospel. Many are still coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and Christians are still being built up in that faith to everlasting life. The work has not changed. God is still at work, even now. And no opposition is ever going to make that stop. So we can obey God rather than men, knowing that there is nothing in this world that can stop God from doing what he has come to do. Our second reason comes a little bit later. We meet the high priest and those who are with him being jealous of what they're seeing. They're jealous of the success of the apostles, jealous of what's going on here, jealous that God is with them. And so they throw them into prison, keeping them there so that they can put them on trial the following morning. And it would seem like all hope is gone. But we're told in verse 19, during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. An angel set them free so that they could keep on preaching, which is exactly what they did. They went back to the temple the following morning and did exactly the same thing that they were thrown into prison for doing. Nothing was going to stop them from doing what God told them to do. And we see the power of God at work here again, Christians, but in a different way. In this case, God delivered them from trouble. They had been thrown into prison where all seemed lost, and yet God set them free. To put it a little bit differently, God takes care of those who trust in Him. That doesn't always mean that God's going to take us out of danger. In fact, later on in this same reading, the apostles will be beaten for preaching the gospel. God did not deliver them from that. But even though they had been beaten, that doesn't mean that God somehow abandoned them. God is with them always, strengthening them through it all. And so it is also with us Christians. God can set us free, but God can also strengthen us when we are in trouble. And God can strengthen us so that we remain steadfast even in the face of suffering and death. No matter what happens to us, God is with us, and He will never leave us or forsake us. Therefore, we should obey God rather than men, because God is our strength, because He watches over us, and He will never abandon us, even to the very end. In the third place, the officers come looking for the apostles. But what a surprise they were in for, because they went to the place where they had left them, in the prison. But when they got there, they weren't there. They had locked the doors. They had set a guard. There was no reason why they shouldn't be there, and yet they aren't there. Did they disappear? Did they vanish into thin air? Where did they go? And yet, as they're struggling, trying to figure this out, even more surprising news comes to them. Well, they're out in the temple again, preaching as they just did before. And so the officers went out to get them. But we're told in verse 26, the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Earlier, they didn't think anything of mistreating them. They probably threw them very roughly into that prison, not giving a second thought to it. But now they're afraid. Now they're timid. And they bring them to the trial, but without violence, because they are afraid of the people. All of this, Christians, shows God's perfect control over this situation. It shows that nothing is going to happen here apart from the will of God. God made it so that their enemies were afraid that day, so that they would not mistreat them more than they already had. And God gave the apostles favor in the eyes of the people as a way of keeping their leaders in check. And I even imagine that the boldness of the apostles also made them afraid. It made them hesitate. I mean, they had just been thrown into prison for this very thing, and yet here they are again. What kind of men are these? But God is strengthening them through it all, because God is in perfect control. And we can see again why we should obey God rather than men. Because no matter what we are going through, Christians, God commands every step. Nothing evil will happen to us apart from His permission. And He even puts fear into the hearts of those who oppose Him. while he makes his saints bold like lions. So why should we be afraid, knowing that our God is in command and that all of our ways are in his hand? In the fourth place, skipping to the end of our reading, we hear one of the leaders named Gamaliel telling the Sanhedrin to be careful. Not because he was sympathetic towards the Christians, but because he was rather shrewd. He said, "Let's just leave them alone. Let them hang themselves. We won't even have to lift a finger here. All we have to do is wait, and this problem will take care of itself." "Just look at the past," he says. "We've seen this sort of thing before. There was Theudas all those years ago who gathered some people around himself, and he perished, and his movement came to an end. And there was also Judas the Galilean who rose up claiming to be somebody, but he too perished, and his people came to nothing. So all we have to do is wait, and this problem will go away." But Gamaliel also spoke truer than he knew that day, when he says in verse 39, "If it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." Because what he didn't know is that this was indeed of God. And because it had come from God, it could not be overthrown. God is the Lord of his church, and he will never let her perish. Though the world fights against her, she will continue even to the very end. Even if she is very small, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. God holds our future in his hands. Therefore, we should obey God rather than men, because he will never let the church fail, no matter what the world does. And finally, Christians, skipping back up a bit, we hear the apostles speaking to the Sanhedrin, saying that we must obey God rather than men. But listen to what they say right after that, starting in verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And we see here the greatest reason for obeying God rather than men. Because God the Father raised up Jesus Christ. He set him at his right hand, and he has set him as king forever. And because Jesus has gone up into heaven, the gospel goes out into the world, preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all, even those who put him to death. Jesus lives, Christians. So why should we be afraid? Jesus reigns, so why would we not listen to him above all? And this is why, even when the apostles are beaten for the sake of the gospel, they rejoice that they had been beaten. Because suffering in this way showed they belong to Jesus. And if they belong to Jesus, then eternal life and unending joy would also be theirs forever. No matter what they suffered now for the sake of the kingdom, it would all give way to the glory to come. Therefore, Christians, let us obey God rather than men. Let us obey God rather than men because we serve a God who is still at work. We serve a God who watches over us. We serve a God who commands all things. We serve a God who holds us up even in the midst of danger. And we serve a God who lives and reigns as King over all things forever. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has raised your Son, Jesus Christ, and seated him at your right hand forever, strengthen us to hold on to you even against the opposition of the world, so that we may always make the good confession and follow after you above all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.